ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नामश्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचीपुत्रमत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीम् राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितः कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयतः पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। पिल्ग्रिमेज is undertaken by most Hindus in their lifetime. Don't mind the use of the word Hindu, it's just conventional. Literally millions will be on pilgrimage, especially in the summer months, or there may be millions going to one, literally millions, to Kumbh Mela is especially famous. But there are the Kumbh Mela's become famous around the world, and many Westerners also congregate there just to experience it or whatever. But it's not very well known, even within India, that there are big Melas, also big gatherings. I'd mentioned that, right? The Godavari, Pushkara, Kumbakonam, literally a million or more people may gather at such places also. So it's definitely a big thing. The largest human gathering, Kumbh Mela. Of course, it's nothing compared to the number of bodyguards of Ugrasena, as we hear from Bhagavatam, which is, as far as I remember, it's several times more than the present population of the earth. How about that? But there is also an anti-pilgrimage, what shall we call it? Tradition? Yeah, I guess we can call it a tradition. Where among the many strands and sub-strands that constitute, actually, Hinduism is a better word than Vedic culture in what I'm saying, because if you say Vedic culture, there's also Tantrism, which also falls within Hinduism. And there's also Buddhism mixed with Hinduism, as is common in Nepal, and with Sikhism, as is popular in Punjab, and with Islam. So maybe in some context, Hinduism is a better word. Because, well, Buddhism and Islam, they're not Vedic. Sikhism, you can say, has derived even Buddhism, you can say. Anyway, there's an anti-pilgrimage tradition within Hinduism in which there are whole groups of people who take teachings from the kind of guru who will say, don't have any guru. They'll say, don't go on pilgrimage either. There's some kind of gurus who say, don't do any, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. So many things they say, don't do. Don't listen to me. Yeah, they also say that, some of that, don't listen to me. And they go on talking. I guess they think someone's going to listen to them. I should be better if people didn't listen to such rascals. But there is the idea that, well, it's an external act and the real thing is inside. That could be said to be true, even if you take that to be true, but the external acts affect our internal state of consciousness. External experience. Even if you hear someone say, don't go on pilgrimage, it's something coming from outside that's supposed to affect our inside. Among bowels. You don't have bowels in South India. They're in Bengal. So there are many bowel songs, and mostly they're not intelligible, only to insiders. But it seems to be deliberately made in such a way that they're full of suggestive metaphors about things which are not understandable unless one is a member of that sect. So anyways, some translation has been given. Bowels, they're usually classified as Hindus, but there's some kind of a conglomeration of Hindu. They take inspiration or whatever from Hindu sources, Muslim sources, and they don't consider to themselves to be Hindus or Muslims or any such thing. So one bowel song. Some translation is given here. I would not go my heart to Makkah or Medina, for behold, I ever abide by the side of my friend. Your friend is... Well, you have to be a bowel to really understand. But I guess that means their idea of the mone manush, the man of the mind, or the mind's man, or vaguely equivalent to God. Mad would I become. The bowels were centuries ahead of the hippies. The idea that to be mad is the perfection of life. Batul. Some people say that the word bowel is derived from the Bengali word batul, which means someone who's affected by vata. It means their airs are deranged and they're crazy. So mad would I become had I dwelt afar, not knowing him. There's no worship in mosques or temples, and there's no special holy days. At every step I have my Makkah and Kashi sacred at every moment. So I remember reading that, when I read that in 1977, I, along with a group of devotees who were deputed to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books in various places in Bengal, we'd visited a Bal Mela. They also congregate together in a particular place. It happened to be Ramakeli, which is the place of Rupa and Sanatan, before they became Rupa and Sanatan, Dabirkas and Sakar Malik. And there are others also, they come together. Because we had the idea that Hindu melas or fairs, the gatherings, they're often very good for book distribution, but we really miscalculated on this one. But we did get a look at hardcore Sahajiism. they're not exactly Sahajiyas, but it's all interlinked. Really, quite a group. Very low class, by anyone's calculation. So they also have their places where they all come together. Another place they go is Ghoshpara, near Kalyani. I think that's their biggest mela, for all it's worth. Another Bengali, Ram Prasad Sen, which probably most Bengalis, I don't know if they've even heard the name, where we have here one. Is he here? Anuttama. Of course, he grew up in Gujarat mostly. You ever heard of Ram Prasad Sen? No. But he's one of the most influential figures on contemporary Bengali religious, social, and cultural life. I'll tell you why, if you're interested. That Durga Puja in Bengal used to be done as a family puja, like most other pujas, but he made it a public affair. And it's huge. If you go to Calcutta at the time of Durga Puja, it's a huge, it's crores and crores of rupees spent, and it's social, it's cultural, it's religious, it's entertainment, all in one. So he was a Shakta, a worshipper of Shakti, Durga, Kali, and so many other names, but especially in Bengal, known as Durga and Kali, and simply Ma, Mother. And also there's Tara, which is another, I'll speak about that some little later. So Ram Prasad Sen, who was a Shakta and a poet, is in translation. What do I have to do with Kashi? What a thing to say. You know, every Hindu feels Kashi. It's like, for us, Vrindavan, but is the place we aspire to. But so to say, what do I have to do with Kashi? Almost sounds like blasphemy. How could you say that? But he says it. He said, he continues, the lotus feet of Kali are places of pilgrimage for me. The worshipper of Kali laughs at the name of Gaya, another important holy place for Bengalis. And what need for me to go to Kashi? Upon the breast of Kashi's maker, I don't know if that's a good translation, it means Shiva, is Kali with her flowing locks. So he was very influential, this Ram Prasad Sen, in popularizing Shakta Dharma and this Dhumdham Durga Puja, big show. But he's not influenced in the terms of discouraging people in Bengal to go on pilgrimage, because Bengalis also go on pilgrimage, and specifically there is a place of Shakta worship in Bengal, which is a very big place of pilgrimage for Shaktas in particular. That's the Tarapita, which means the place of Tara, which is another name or form of Durga. Arya Samaj, atheists to the core, and very influential for quite some decades. You see that Srila Prabhupada, he, in his early writings, he mentions about meeting Arya Samajis and discussing with them, and he didn't like them at all, very atheistic. But now their influence is not so much. Swami Dayananda, the founder, not the one from... There's more recently another Swami Dayananda from South India who passed away fairly recently. Not that one, the founder of the Arya Samaj in the 19th century. So he didn't allow his followers, banned them. No pilgrimage, no bathing in holy places. It'd be pretty difficult if you live on the bank of the Ganga when everyone goes to bathe, but maybe just out of practicality, not the idea. They just see Ganga water as ordinary water. Ya tirtha buddhi salile na karhi jijane. No, that's not the one I'm thinking of. Arche Vishnu Shiladhir Gurushu Naramatir. What's the next line? Vaishnava jati buddhi. Then Vishnu Vaishnavanam. What's the jal? Charanjal. To think that all these things are just ordinary is hellish. So he's a certified resident of hell. Using beads, having any kind of tilak, which is having the tilak, that's something should be there for every follower of Vedic culture. They should have, because you're supposed, every follower of Vedic culture, we're specifically talking here about the, what we may say, caste Hindus, Brahmana, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, they have to be initiated. Maybe Shudras might not, it wouldn't be initiated by the Vedic system, but by Tantric system, not talking specifically about the nasty left wing. But they should have some kind of guru. Everyone should have a guru. And if you have a guru, that means you have to have a sampradayic mark to show which sampradaya you're in. But he says, no, nothing, no. Giving any dakshina or dhanam, any gift or contribution to any sannyasi or brahmana, no, no. And what's left? You go to the boring Arya Samaj. That's all. That's all that's left. So he said that his whole thing is we only believe in the Vedas. We don't accept any Puranas or Mahabharata or any such thing. Only the Vedas. You may remember, if you've read the Tattva Sandharva of Srila Jiva Goswami, that he establishes, the whole Tattva Sandharva is, the whole purpose is to establish that Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost evidence, especially in this Kali Yuga. And one of the reasons he gives that the Vedas, one thing is people can't understand them anyway in this Kali Yuga. And another thing, there aren't people qualified to understand it. And another thing is that so much of it is missing. A lot of it's not extant at all. But the Swami Dayananda, he says that, you know, we only follow the Vedas. And there's nothing in the Vedas about pilgrimage. So, Puranas. Purana, that which makes purna, puriyati, puri, what is it? Puriyateti purana, that which makes full and complete, that is in the Puranas. But he says, no, forget it. It's all false. There's no, you think you can go to a holy place and get so much benefit? That's all cheating. And he said that the idea that if you die in Kashi or you in a holy river, that's led to suicides. Maybe. Now, in Vaishnavism also, We may say that there's criticism of pilgrimage also in Vaishnavism. In the Bhagavat Mahatma, it's stated that only devotion can free us from the worldly shackles. In the Bhagavatam itself, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, this is Krishna speaking to Uddhava, 11th canto. Narodhe atimam yogo na sankhyam dharma evacha na swadhyayas tapastyago neshta purtam na dakshina. Vratani yagyas chandangsi tirtani niyamayama ha yata varunte satsanga sarva sangha pahohima. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Uddhava, by associating with my pure devotees, one can destroy one's attachment for all objects of material sense gratification. There are many similar verses that Nasvadhyayas tapastyago yata bhakti mamarjita. Oh, I'm going to quote that. I already got it there. And what is that? Ruhuganai tapasana yati nachejaya nirvapanad grihadva. Na chandasa naiva jalagni surya vinamahat seva vinamahat padam rajobhishekam. Thank you. So it's a similar thing, that all these different things, going on pilgrimage and severe tapasya, studying the Vedas, they don't have the same effect as having a bath in the, literally, having a bath in the dust of the feet of a mahat, of a great personality. Similarly, that's Jarabharat said that. Then Prahlad Maharaj, also similar verse, which I don't remember now. I hope one of you can remember it. So there's Matiana Krishna, you can't get it like this, you can't get it like that, you can't get it like that, but you can get it by anyway, we're all brain dead here. Not only me. All three of you sitting at least 2 meters apart from each other. Then nasadi yati mam yogo nasankhyam dharma udava nasvadhyayas tapastyago yata bhaktyam amorjita. My dear Uddhava, the unalloyed devotional service rendered to me by my devotees brings me under their control. I cannot be thus controlled by those engaged in mystic yoga, Sankhya philosophy, pious work, Sangha yoga. Doesn't particularly say that. Anyway, the idea is that bhakti is all there is. So what's the use of all these other things? Narottam Das spells it out specifically. Tirtha jatra parishram keval mone brahm sarva siddhi gobinda charam. Going on tirtha yatra, pilgrimage, is parishrama, which gives the idea of parishrama, gives the idea of hard work and especially unnecessary hard work. As you know, shrama eva hi kevalam. Without getting a taste, vishvaksena katasuyaha, nodpadiyad, yadi ratim shrama eva hi kevalam. Without getting a taste for hearing about Krishna, everything is just unnecessary work. But you know, including going on pilgrimage. Tirtha yatra is some effort, big effort. All perfection is at the lotus feet of Govinda. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so what's going on here? Agreeing with Swami Dayananda, Let's go on. Jai tirte boishnav nai shai tirte te nahi jai ki lab hatiya duradish. In that holy place where there is no Vaishnav, I won't go to that place. What is the point of walking, specifically says walking here, to distant countries? Jata boishnav gon sheshtan brindavan sheshtane ananda oshish. So where there are Vaishnavas, that place is Vrindavan, and that place is full of bliss. Unlimited bliss. So it seems that there's no need even to go to Vrindavan. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, more than anyone, established pilgrimage to Navadvip, at least in the present age, by discovering so many holy places, not only physically, but by revealing their glories in his Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. And he also sung Gora Amara Deshabastane Karalo Brahmana Ronge Sheshabastana Haribo Ami Pranai Bhakata Shonge. He says that all the places that were visited by my Gora, all those places which he very happily visited, he aspires, Bhaktivinoda Thakur aspires as one of the facets of anukula bhakti, that what is favorable for advancement in devotional service. He says, I will travel to all those places, Sheshavrishta, I will see in the association of loving devotees. And we know that apart from Navadvip, he also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, sometimes visited some of the many holy places in Bengal, which, and of course other places, Puri, he lived in Puri. But he specifically took journeys, pilgrimages to visit, for instance, Kulina Gram. There's a specific pastime mentioned of him there, and various holy places all around. There are many holy places in Bengal, Sripats, they're called, the places associated with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. And of course, we are Vaishnavas. They are recommended, especially Gauriya Vaishnavas, probably Vallabh Sampradaya Vaishnavas, and Nimbarkas also. They're all three of these Sampradayas put special emphasis on the importance of Mathura and Vrindavan. So we're enjoined to live there, or at least visit there, especially in Kartik. And also, again, yesterday I read from the Bhagavatam. I'll read a verse again, or half a verse from the Bhagavatam. Pado nirnangto drumajanna bhajo kshetrani nanu vrajato harerio. The legs which do not move to the holy places where the Lord is remembered are considered to be like tree trunks. So it's not that pilgrimage is forbidden, but but the point is, it's emphasizing the point, how to go on pilgrimage, with what attitude. I'll get back to that later. In an upcoming lecture. Just now, I'll read from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, 4. One must go to sacred places. That's not all. One must go to sacred places, not only to take bath there, but to search out great sages like Maitreya and take instructions from them. If one does not do so, his traveling to places of pilgrimage is simply a waste of time. So it's not saying that one, from the Vaishnav perspective, I just read some quotes which makes it seem that there's no point to go on pilgrimage at all. But rather it's stated that there's no point to go unless one seeks out great sages like Maitreya and takes instructions from them. Continuing, Srila Prabhupada's purport. Narottam Das Thakur, a great acharya of the Vaishnava sect, has for the present forbidden us to go to such places of pilgrimage because in this age, the times having so changed, a sincere person may have a different impression on seeing the behavior of the present residents of the pilgrimage sites. That's an interesting point. For the present, which suggests that Prabhupada wants to reform the pilgrimage places in India to make a proper devotional atmosphere. Now, we don't encounter this very much in South India, but in North India, it's very common that we'll go to a holy place and be harassed by people who want to take our money in the name of giving. You have to give money to brahmanas in holy places and this and that. But one thing I've noticed over the last few years is that's decreasing, and often the people who want to get money out of you, they're very nice, and they treat you very nicely, talk with you very politely. Some of them learn the word Prabhu to speak, which is only in ISKCON and Gauriya Math. It's other. Many people find it very strange to address humans as Prabhu when it's generally a term reserved for the Supreme Lord. So, they're very nice. And I guess they're doing that because they worked out that if you harass devotees, ISKCON devotee, whatever, then you won't get anything out of them. If you're nice with them, then they'll give something. That's what I think. But then their attitude may have also changed. And especially I'm seeing many young people who are from these traditional Panda families in Puri and other places. They're actually impressed by Srila Prabhupada, what he's done all over the world, and they're actually have an inclination toward it. And so if they want to come and help you and this and that, it's not just they're making some show to be nice so they can get some money out of you. And quite often we say they don't take any money anyway. They want to do some service. So things are changing. And naturally, if you are nice, even for the point of trying to get some money out of people, then hopefully the internal attitude will gradually change also. So... there's some thoughts about that. The behavior of the present residents of the pilgrimage sites, that may be improving. Continuing Prabhupada's purport here. He, referring to Narottam Das, has recommended that instead of taking the trouble to travel to such places, one should concentrate his mind on Govinda, and that will help him. I just quoted that from Narottam Das, the Bengali of that. Of course, to concentrate one's mind on Govinda in any place is a path meant for those who are the most spiritually advanced. It is not for ordinary persons. Ordinary persons may still derive benefit from traveling to holy places like Prayag, Mathura, Vrindavan, and Haridwar. So there's the point. If one is very spiritually advanced, he doesn't need to visit any holy place. But still he may like to do so, because they are special places, and especially Vrindavan, it's not in the category of any other holy place. I'll get back to that later. It's not that Vrindavan, and there are so many, Gaya, Kashi, they're all the same, because Vrindavan is the eternal abode of the Lord. Of course, Varanasi is also eternal, but anyway, I'll get that back to that a little later. Now, Nehru in the present, or in the more modern era, by Nehru I'm referring to Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru. When we say Nehru, we generally, although there are so many Nehrus, he's not the only one. So, taking a cue out of Vivekananda's book, updating Vivekananda, he said that the the factories and dams, they will be the temples, the mandirs of modern India. In other words, we don't need temples. We need factories and dams and mines and machines and roads and so many things. And that was even up to the 1970s when I first came to India, that was commonly thought and very deeply had gone into this culture, this atheistic propaganda, that India's had too much religion, that's why we're backward. And we need now to develop materially. These ideas were coming from Nehru and others. Of course, it might have been thought that India is very developed, most developed, spiritually, for which being materially so-called advanced is an impediment. The very desire to be materially advanced is an impediment. Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam tayaparita chetasa vyavasayatmika buddhir samadhana vithiyate. One who's strongly attached to material enjoyment and opulence cannot attain samadhi or spiritual realization. It's not possible. The two things cannot go together. So that was Nehru in recent times. And going back in time to Kabir, who was, not exactly sure, a Muslim-Hindu mix, something like that. So a quote from him, I only have it in the translation. Benares is to the east, Mecca to the west, but explore your own heart, for there are both Rama and Allah, and devotion, yajna and japa, piety, pilgrimage, fasting and alms. Nine bhaktas, I'm not sure who that refers to, the Vedas, the book, maybe that refers to the Quran. All these are cloaks of falsehood. I wonder where he got the words Ram and Allah from, if not from books, ultimately. But he's saying that there are holy places like Banaras for the Hindus and Mecca for the Muslims. You won't find God there. God is in your heart. And everything is there. You don't need to do bhakti, you don't need to do yajnas, don't need to do japa, you don't need to do pious works, you don't need to go on pilgrimage, don't need to do fasting, you don't need to give alms, it's all in your heart. God's in your heart. Again, that may be true that God's in your heart, but there is a method to find Him in your heart, and all these methods are for helping to find Him in your heart. And if you just say, well, God's in my heart, so I don't need to do anything religious, then you become an atheist, because you're not experiencing God directly. So ultimately, all his, you know, very high talk, God is in your heart, but ultimately it's all atheism. Just that there's so many Hindu tricks for avoiding Krishna. In fact, all of Hinduism is a trick for avoiding Krishna. If you say the actual Vedic culture is meant to lead us to Krishna, and all of Hinduism, it's all soham and all this air is just big mess. How to avoid Krishna while appearing to be very pious? So that's a common thing, isn't it? You ask someone to chant Hare Krishna. When Krishna inspires me, then I'll chant. When Krishna tells me, like he told Arjuna, then I'll surrender to him. As if, yeah, I really want to chant, but Krishna hasn't told me yet, so I better not do it yet. Just rascal them, that's all. Just rascal them. So talking as if, very, very high. Jotomot, totopot, all opinions, as many opinions, that many paths. So it just leads to atheism, that's all. It is atheism. Here's another quote from Kabir. Patar puja ke harimile meto puja paha. If by worshipping a stone you can get Hari, God, then I'll worship a mountain, big stone. Scoffing at deity worship. Anyway, despite this, so many objections to pilgrimage, it goes on. Prabhupada, he noted that despite the objections to pilgrimage, so many people are going on pilgrimage. I'm going to read from a transcript of Srila Prabhupada's talk on Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 15, on October the 9th, 1973, in Bombay. Srila Prabhupada quoting this, Patar puja ke hari mile meto puja paha. Prabhupada quoting this, he said, so this rascal, referring to Kabir, does not know that this is not worship of Patar. It is worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally. He's referring to, Srila Prabhupada is here worship, referring to deity worship. But to show us mercy, because we cannot see the Supreme Personality of Godhead with these blunt eyes, he has assumed the form of a stone. This is called Archamurti. It is his mercy. Therefore, Shastra says, Arche Vishnu Shiladhir Gurushu Naramatir Vaishnave Jati Buddhi Vishnu Va Vaishnavanam Kalimata Matane. I'm not remembering it. one should avoid these things. In other words, avoid thinking that the deity is stone, the guru is an ordinary man, the Vaishnava belongs to a certain caste. Srila Prabhupada says one should avoid these things. Archamurti, the deity worship in the temple. If one thinks it is made of stone, it is made of wood, that is very offensive. One should not think like that. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. He can accept your service even in this form. But because he has assumed this form, don't neglect it, that it is stone. Then it will be offensive. It is to show you mercy, the Archamurti. Otherwise, all the great saintly persons, just like Ramanuja Acharya, Madhva Acharya, all big, big acharyas who are actually controlling the Vedic civilization, still, they established thousands of temples and murtis, especially in South India. Still, Ranganath Temple, Tirupati temples, visited by hundreds and thousands of people. So does it mean they have all become fools? They go to see some stone? No. So there will be objections to pilgrimage, and most people just ignore it. That's all. There was a film a few years ago in Hindi. Oh my God. The title's in English, but the film is in Hindi, in which it was trying to show that service to the poor is real worship of God, worship of making temples, having deities, it's all useless. You serve the poor. It's like Daridra Narayan idea. And in the film, what happened? Someone was supposed to have been killed, and then they made him, or died, and he's said to be an avatar. They made a murti of him. And in the movie, he comes back, he wasn't dead, and gets a big iron rod, and smashes the head off that murti. And I just thought, that for all their propaganda, they wouldn't have dared to do that with them in the film with a murti of Krishna or even Sai Baba. So they had to, they did it like that. They made the point, but they didn't dare to go that far. So their whole point is you should use money for the poor. That film made crores of rupees. How much did they give to the poor? Those actors. Akshay Kumar, I think, was the leading actor. He was acting Krishna in that film. Hypocrites. And still people will go to the temples. For some time there was, oh, see, it's all useless, this, that. So much atheistic propaganda. It's not new. Atheists are always there. In the Kali Yuga there's more and more atheism, but it's always there. Don't worry for it. But it is important to give the proper understanding also. Otherwise people are confused. They have so many ideas. The deity is just some stone, or there's some Mayavadi idea that the deity becomes powerful because so many people pray, and then it absorbs their energy and radiates it back. Something like that. There are all kinds of strange ideas. Somehow or other, their idea is to avoid Krishna. So Prabhupada gave Krishna. Here he is. Do you believe in God? Yes. Do you know who God is? No. What he looks like? No. Where he lives? No. So I'll tell you. He's Krishna. He's the Supreme Lord. He lives in Vrindavan. We know his father's name, his mother's name. You shouldn't protest. You don't know. You can't say. I can say. Hare Krishna. All glories to his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, who gave us Krishna, temples, visits to Vrindavan, living in Vrindavan for some. He gave us the whole spiritual world. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpataru pyascha kripa sindhi vyavacha patitana. Pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namah.
Zolina's Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj ki.